drums for Matt, and Matt Brown and his sweet little wife Nicole are celebrating their anniversary, and they're out of town. And let's see, who else were we missing up there? Kathleen, we were missing Kathleen and Eric today. But thank God for, it's just amazing how God blesses, amen? How he just continues to provide, and we are thankful for those of you who shared with us today and led us in worship so far. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being our guest. I got to find something to read with. Let's see, which pair shall I use? I'll use the little pair today. Chris, this is yours and Amanda's last Sunday. Is that right? Got one more? You hadn't left yet. Okay. All right. They are moving up into the North Carolina, going to become a Tar Heel. You know what happens to Tar Heels? Sand sticks to them. Yeah, you can never get rid of it. Once in South Carolina, once it gets all over you. Guests, we are so happy that you're here with us today. We thank you for coming and being a part of our worship service. Let me just take a minute, a little interlude here. And Mary, we do wish you a very happy birthday. You really, really look wonderful for 19. Leon's done a great job taking care of you. This coming Friday at 5:30 is when I'll need your prayers. I'll be going to Lexington Medical Center to have my aorta aneurysm repaired. They'll be putting a slingshot inside of me, and so be careful. No, I'm just kidding. But it's shaped like a slingshot, and they'll be doing that. And I come to find out that my surgery will not be 3.5 to 4 hours. He told us on Thursday about 1.5 hours. And that sounds good. Amen? That sounds very good. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get it behind me. That was the one that I thought what I was going to have back last April, and I ended up having the other one. And God has been working in the process. Even on Wednesday, when Rome and I went to our cardiologist to have my echocardiogram done, it was just absolutely amazing. The lady that God put in the room with me, I lay back on the table, you all, the exam table, and she began the process. And of course, you all don't know this, but you see, I call the devil a liar. Hello? That's right, he is. I call him a liar. I really do. Because he's the father of all lies. That's what the scripture says. And so I call him a liar every opportunity I have. And I don't receive what he tries to offer. I refuse to receive what he tries to offer. I do not take it. I believe God's word is inerrant, it's infallible, it's truth without any mixture of error. I believe heaven and earth shall pass away before one jot or one tittle of his word can be changed, altered, or broken, or removed. I believe it's forever settled in heaven. Therefore, if I don't understand it, all I have to do is believe it. Hello? You see, we're not called necessarily to understand it. In fact, the book of Revelation, John, the writer, the human writer, the Holy Spirit, certainly inspired John, reminds us that if you just read it, if you just hear it, you're promised a blessing. Hello? You see, we sometimes think that we have to understand all this deep theological truth in order to live the victorious Christian life. No, we don't. All we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of us, which he does the moment we trust Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We are baptized into the family of God. We have been birthed by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that God has extended to us. Therefore, we can never be separated from God and his love ever again. We are eternally born into God's family. We are forever sealed, according to Ephesians 4:30, by the Holy Spirit. And you and I are greater than the Holy Spirit, nor are we greater than Jesus, nor are we greater than God. And he said, you're in my hand. No man can pluck you out of my hand. My Father who gave you to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. It is forever settled in heaven. So stop doubting your salvation. Start living the victorious Christian life by letting the Holy Spirit just indwell you and infill you and empower you. That won't cost you nothing. That's free. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And stand with me when you find verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. Anytime you see the word verily, verily, it's what it's called in the Greek. And I know very little Greek. It's all Greek to me. It's either Hebrew or Greek, okay? And I know a little of either one. But one thing I do know, I'm born again, I'm blood washed, I'm blood bought, and I'm screwed onto the right bolt, and his name is Jesus, okay? Nothing will ever change that. October the 15th, 1963, Aldous Air Force Base, Aldous, Oklahoma. I grew up in church. I was christened as a baby, sprinkled when I was a year old, ducked when I was 12, and was not saved until I was 20 years of age in October before Roma and I were married in December. She said she would not marry an unbeliever, so I knew I needed to be saved. No, I'm just kidding. Truly, truly is a double negative in the Greek. Verily, verily is a double negative in the Greek. And it's just a simple way in the Greek language of saying this cannot be changed, it cannot be altered. Of course, I just told you that. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. But when Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now look up here just a minute. You remember the first message that I came back after my surgery in May? You remember the 3 points? Well, let me just remind you. You remember what they were? What was the first one? Doubt. Remember? Doubt. The second one was faith, and the third one was believe. And I've challenged you ever since then to just believe the Word of God, to take God at what He says to you. He is your heavenly Father, to take Him at His word, to take Him at His promise to you. His promise cannot be broken. I understand that, Asher. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Amen. He that believeth on me and the works that I do. I want you to know, for a long time this hounded me as a believer. It hounded me as a pastor. And I questioned God, how is this possible? And the works that I do shall he do also. Now, Jesus cannot lie. Neither can God lie. Neither can the Holy Spirit lie. Therefore, either this is the truth or it's not the truth. Which side do you want to fall on? Hello? Okay. The works that I do shall he do also. But then it gets a little deeper. It says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now turn to chapter 16 and verse 7. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking again, I tell you the truth. Okay, our theme verse has been John 4:24. Let's say it together. God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in what? Spirit and what? Truth. Okay, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? In other words, you're going to be better because I'm going to leave. Hello? You're going to be better because I'm going to leave. Your life is going to be different because I'm going to leave. Can you imagine how the disciples must have looked at him perplexed? You and I would have done the same thing. Hello, we're no different than they were. Can you imagine how they looked at him when he said this? It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Nevertheless, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, John 4:24, nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Father, honor the reading of your word. in the hearing of the believers and those that are gathered in this place today, remove this preacher from the eyes of these people. Manifest and exalt and glorify your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do a fresh work among us this morning. May none of us leave. May none of us leave the way we came, but God, may we leave changed and empowered and encouraged and energized to be filled by the power of your Holy Spirit to go out into that world and to do that which you said we can do for your great and awesome glory. In the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In instructing his disciples regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will guide you in all truth. He will guide you in all truth. He will bring to your remembrance everything that I have said. John 16, verse 7 and following. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to empower and to remain with the church until it is complete and presented to the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Just as Jesus Christ finished the work he came to do in the flesh, it is finished. John 19 and verse 30, if you remember, from the cross came that utterance. So will the Holy Spirit finish the work he came to do in and through the church. You and I that are saved, that are blood washed, that are blood bought, that are born again, have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as you had earthly parents who told you that you were their son or their daughter. You have spiritual parents, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who are not one, two, and three, but all equal in power and essence, because they are all omniscient, meaning they are all knowing. They are all omnipresent, meaning they're everywhere. They are all omnipotent, meaning they're all powerful. And they are immutable, meaning that they change not according to the whims and the wishes of man, but that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, the Holy Spirit of God came to reveal the word of God unto the hearts of the people of God, in order that the power of God through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be manifested in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to his great and awesome glory. Give him a hand in the church this morning. Amen. To finish the work. To finish the work. God wants to complete a work in you. Salvation is just the beginning. So often we stop at the Great Commission. And we Southern Baptists have done a great job. And I want you to know I'm Baptist by denomination. But I want you to know I'm a child of God, chosen of God, called of God, commissioned of God. And I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God, which is the whole word of God, regardless of what people think in this day and time that I'm living. Because I believe if there was ever a day that the church needs to hear the whole truth and not part of the truth, I believe it's the day and the time that we're living in, church. Many today believe erroneously that the Holy Spirit did not come to earth until the day of Pentecost. This is absolutely not true. It's a bald-faced lie. I've even heard that preached, y'all. I've even heard that taught. This is absolutely not true, certainly not supported by and with the Scripture. Scripture assigns no less than 11 ministries to the Holy Spirit, and three of those were performed in the Old Testament times as the Spirit came at creation, wrote the Scriptures, and called out the people of God, the nation of Israel. And so our first slide this morning, we're going to look at the various ministries of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit oversaw the writing of the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected. You see, God wants to perfect you and I. He does not want you to remain a babe in Christ. I love my precious two grandbabies that are down here on the front pew with my wife and their mother and father this morning. But I, as much as I love them the way they are, I can't wait till they can run up to me and grab Papa around the leg and tug on him. And then I can't wait till one day I see that beautiful granddaughter walk down the aisle with the young man that God's chosen for her to be her husband. And I can't wait for that young lady to walk down the aisle with that grandson that God's chosen for him to be his wife. You see, I want them to grow. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and correction, for instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected. The problem today is our churches are anemic across this nation. Do you realize and do you understand what time we're living in and the times that we're living in? Do you realize and understand if there was ever a time for the church to be empowered and energized by the Holy Spirit of God, church, somebody ought to be different today. And that difference can only come through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. His ministry concerning the scriptures, his ministry concerning Israel, he chose and called Israel out to be the chosen people of God, to be the wife of God, to manifest his word to the world that God created and placed man in, to rule over and to have authority in. And look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Just because Satan is the prince and the power of the air does not mean he has authority over you, church. Does not mean that he's more powerful in you. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. We are more than conquerors through him that gave himself for us and died for us on Calvary's cross. Begin to believe that. Begin to live it out in your life. Begin to tell Satan who he is. He's a liar. He's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning when he lied to Adam and Eve in the garden. The manifestation of the devil himself and that which he tries to bring over the believer and tries to control the believer and tries to keep the believer from growing in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry concerning the Savior. You remember? You remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Look up here, miss. Don't miss what I'm about to say. We got some Baptists that need the Holy Ghost to come upon them. It won't hurt you. Hello? It won't hurt you. Listen to me. I know that's not correct denominational theology. And I know some of you are going to have a problem with your pastor making that statement. We fear the Holy Spirit more than we fear the devil. You know why? We got pride. We're afraid of what somebody's going to think and say about us if the Holy Spirit gets over us and does something in and through us. We're afraid we're going to embarrass ourselves, embarrass our family. I told you all a while back, I've reached a point in my life I could care less what anybody thinks about me, and I do not say that arrogantly or rudely towards you all or unlovingly. I'm at the point of my life, listen to me, God's raised me up 7 times. I'm like the cat with 9 lives. I've got at least 2 more waiting. You can ask my wife how God has raised me up across the years. You want to know why I love him so? I wept all the way to Greenwood Wednesday afternoon. I got to the motel room and I just wept. And I got Thursday morning in my meeting and I sat there just weeping. This string's about to drive me nuts, honey. Anybody got a pair of clippers? Come up here and clip this thing off for me right now, Matt. It's about to drive me nuts. Thank you. You want it? Hallelujah, it's gone. Listen to me, that's how you deal with Satan. Hello? You cut him off. You cut him off. He has no authority in your life. He has no permission in your life. He has no access in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses you from all sin. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to live the righteous life. Yes, you are a sinner saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, you are a sinner saved by grace. But listen to me, stop living as a sinner saved by grace and live as a saint of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, the fire of God in your life and in your heart. He came and birthed the church on the day of Pentecost. He drew them out of every tongue and every nation and every language and every people, and he brought them together. They heard one another speak in their own language, in their own tongue. Hello. Roma said to me one day, she said, it wasn't when it came out of their mouth as it was when it entered the air that they heard. On the day of Pentecost, he so empowered the church. And you start reading in the book of Acts, and I challenge you to go home and read the book of Acts. And every time you see they were filled, and they were again filled, and they were again filled, and they were again filled, and again filled, and again filled. We need believers today in our Baptist churches across this nation and in all of our churches to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God, and the power of God will be manifested in their life. And miracles will happen, church. Demons will flee. Marriages will be healed. Sons and daughters will rise up and walk that path of faith that you have tried to teach them and instruct them and guide them and lead them and nurture them. Grandchildren, God promised me that my blessings would pass down even to the fourth generation of my life. I may not live here. The Lord may come first, but if he doesn't, I want the blessings to pass to my son and my daughter, and I want it to pass to my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law, but I want it to go to my grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren. It's only possible by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. As you and I, as a blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again child of God, live the Spirit-filled life. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let me tell you something this morning. Get rid of the sin in your life. Ask God to deliver you from it. And when you get rid of the sin and the habits and the things that are holding you all down and defeating you, you will be filled with the Spirit of God automatically. There's a story in the book of Matthew about the man that swept and garnished his house. He cleaned it up. It was spotless. And the demon left. One day the demon decided to return. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Satan only left Jesus for a season. Do you think he's going to leave me and you for our entire lifetime? The moment we get saved and the rest of our life, he's never going to bother us again. He only left Jesus for a season. Who do we think we are that he's going to leave us alone? And the Bible says in that story that that demon came back in his travel and his journey, and he noticed the house was swept and clean and garnished, but it hadn't been filled with anything. And he took seven other demons worse than himself, and he entered into that man, and the last state of that man was worse than the first state. Church, listen to this old crazy country preacher this morning. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. Under the Spirit and the leadership of God. I wish I'd have understood some of this stuff in the early years of my ministry, 40 plus years ago. Some of the battles I fought, some of the things that I dealt with. It would have been so much different. But I guess God had to bring me through that so he'd get me where I am today. I see some of you nodding your head. Thank you. Thank you for that grace. Listen, y'all, we're a work in progress. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be a work in progress. God ought to be doing something in your life every day. He ought to be working something new in your life every day. The key. Love is the key that unlocks every door, unlocks every prison, and unlocks even more. The world is so hungry for love that is true, and there is no greater love that was shown to me by you. On Calvary's cross, you suffered and died. Love's greatest gift was your sacrifice. Now, as your children, we too must share all that love you gave for folks everywhere. We cannot work it up or even put on a show. If your love is in us, surely people will know. But we should not sit back and hope your love is seen as we drift from day to day in our comfort and routine. Spirit inside of us, our comforter and guide, helps us pour out your love and gives us great courage beside. We must offer that love and hope in your name so people will trust in you and no longer be the same. Make us each beacons of your love and light and lead us by your Spirit each day and night. May we cling to the promises in your word, also true, and speak what you would speak and do what you would do. John 14, 12, 13, and 14. To draw close to God is easy, my friend. just give away his love again and again. I won't be preaching on the spiritual gifts nor the fruit of the Spirit next Sunday morning. My doctor and I have decided that it would be best that I not pass out on you all in the pulpit. So that sermon is down the road somewhere whenever the Holy Spirit opens the door for me to deliver that message. It is the last in this series, but we will spend a lot of time looking at the fruit of the Spirit and those spiritual gifts. But because it's going to be a while before I can share that message with you, and some of you may not be here then, let me go ahead and just talk just a minute or two about it. For a long time, I believed, as most in my denomination do, that there were certain gifts that had passed away. I preached that. I taught that. Until one day, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of my heart in an undeniable way. And I cannot deny what it did in me. As I lay on that exam table Wednesday morning there in Dr. Roberts' office, and as that young lady was doing the test, do y'all believe in divine intervention? Do you really believe in divine intervention? Do you really believe God hears your prayers? Do you really believe that when you pray, there's a God in heaven that's more anxious to answer your prayer than you are even to pray it? Do you really believe he's just waiting to shout down from heaven the answer to that prayer and put everything in place? Had no idea who this young lady was. Didn't know her from Adam's house cat. I'm sure Adam must have had a cat. And she walks in and she knows Roma and I. And she begins to tell me who I am. That's scary, isn't it? I mean, that'll get you sober real quick. Hello? When you realize that the person knows more about you and you don't even know them. In other words, your reputation has preceded you. Who you are has preceded you, not for just a few years, for years. Years, this young lady has known me and Roma. And she begins to do the exam. Now, I don't want to put her in trouble, and I don't want to put any of you nurses in trouble or anything like that, but it was just like God just began to open up. As I'm laying there on that table, there was a power of God fell on me. And she witnessed it as well. And God began to speak truth into my heart, church. His power overshadowed me just as the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived and bore Jesus. His power overshadowed me. And there was a peace that I cannot explain to you. Yes, the peace with God, the peace from God, and the peace of God. There was a peace that fell over me. Now, you're looking at a man that was told lying on his table, getting ready for his first surgery by the anesthesiologist. You're looking at a man that was told, the first knowledge Roma and I had of it, that he'd had a major heart attack. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Neither did I. And I went into that surgery that morning. You can imagine what that's like when the anesthesiologist walks in and tells you, do you realize you've had a major heart attack? No. When? And Roma and I rebuked it. Well, guess what they found out Wednesday morning? I have a heart. And I have a heart that's in excellent working order for a man my age. I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in. And the Holy Spirit just fell on me and empowered me and gave me such a confidence, such a peace. Church, I'm not telling you something I imagined. I'm not telling you something that I've made up. My wife is there as a witness. This young lady was there as a witness. I'm telling you something that happened to me Thursday morning. And I'm telling you, when the doctor, when I met with her afterwards, she looked at me and she said, "Oh, you're good for another 2 years at least." Hallelujah! Praise His holy name. Glory to His holy name. You want to know why I shout and dance and jump a pew? It's not because I'm Pentecostal. It's because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who has delivered me and delivered me and delivered me, and who will deliver me. Did you hear me? I got to hurry. I got 5 minutes to preach 12 points. Next slide, quickly. John 16 and verse 9, He convicts of sin. That's who He is. That's why He's given to us. When you feel that nudging in your heart, nobody has to tell you that you've sinned. You know it. You're not dumb, ignorant, stupid. The Holy Spirit tells you that you have sinned. And the Holy Spirit tells you what that sin is. And the Holy Spirit tells you that you'll just confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can have a bath 24 hours a day if you want to. He convicts men. He convicts people. He convicts the church. He convicts the world. He convicts people in general that Jesus is the righteousness of God. He is the total and complete righteousness of God. He will convict men that the power of Satan has been broken. John 16, 11, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. You ought to underline Hebrews 2 and 14 in your Bibles. You ought to mark it. It's okay. It's not a sin. If you think it's a sin, then don't do it, because I don't want you to do something that you're convicted is wrong to do. Okay? Did you hear me? I don't want you to disobey your conscience for Pastor Johnny, but write it down. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. You want to know why Jesus came? He came to destroy him that had the power of death. To deliver you and I from the power of death. Death is not that one-time event. Death is living a life of defeat and destruction and despair and depression and just totally feeling annihilated. And you meet people every day that are living that way. Sometimes believers find themselves in that valley of despair. Elijah did. Right after the battle on Mount Carmel, Elijah went and hid in a cave from Jezebel. Can you imagine running from a woman? The man of God running from a woman, yet he did. You see, the enemy will do anything and everything he can to drive us into that pit of depression and despair and discouragement and defeat. Jesus Christ died to deliver us, and it is the Holy Spirit, listen to me, it is the Holy Spirit that makes that alive and active and activates it in your heart and in your life. He will regenerate and restore the believer. Hey, I am a work in progress. I sent the email out this past week. By the time they finish with me, I'm going to be in pretty good shape. I really am. But one day, listen to me, my Lord and my Savior is coming, and guess what I'm going to have? I'm going to have plenty of hair. I'm going to be able to hear good. I won't have to wear glasses. Because I'm going to see Him as He is in all of His glory, in all of His righteousness, in all of His holiness. And I'm going to be like Him, 1 John says, chapter 3. Beloved, we know not how that He shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Jesus had a body. It was a spiritual body. He ate fish. Hello. Somebody asked me, is there going to be eating in heaven? You better believe it. The marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be eating in heaven. There's going to be a banquet in heaven. You better believe it. I'm going to have a body. You're going to have a body like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where there's neither sorrow, nor sickness, nor pain, nor suffering, nor death. For Revelation tells us that the former things have passed away, have been done away with. Paul writes in that great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're on the winning side. We're going to win. No matter how dark it gets out there, no matter how dismal it gets out there, no matter how discouraging it gets out there, no matter how the political arena looks, no matter how the financial markets look. By the way, the Dow ended the week up. Next week, it's liable to end the week down. Don't trust the Dow. The Dow is manipulated by man. He will fully indwell the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're bought with a price. Paul said, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is not your own, but His. You belong to Him. I own nothing. This is not my life. I gave it to Him. And then secondly, I gave it to Roma. I have no authority over my body. I have no authority over my life. He has bought me with the price of His shed blood on Calvary's cross. And God so loved me that He chose to deposit His Spirit inside of me, church. Believe that this morning. And start living out that victory in whatever you face and whatever you deal with. Start calling Satan what he is. And speak and declare the word to him. And start living the victorious life. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. If he wants to fill you to the point that all the spiritual gifts are manifested in your life, although None of us have or will have all of them, but that makes us need everybody. Hello, God is smart, isn't He? But don't be afraid. Fear is faith in reverse. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He baptizes and He immerses the believer into the body of Christ. He fills the believer upon our desire and our request. No wonder Paul would command us. It's not just your choice. It's a command as great as the Great Commission is. It's a command that says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Boy, you can tell what a person's filled with when you get around them. When you listen to what's coming out of their mouth. Hello? When bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy and strife and backbiting and hatred. When profanity. When dirty jokes. And I hear Christians that use all of those things, y'all. Professing Christians that use all of those things. I didn't say, hello, don't leave here and say I said they were lost. No. I didn't say that. I said they're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A man that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, the Holy Spirit doesn't use that kind of language. You see, there's no fights. There's no arguments. There's no raging anger. There's no raging jealousy where a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He has the character of God. We preached on that a number of Sundays back when we preached on the deity of the Holy Spirit. He's not third person. Neither is Jesus second person. They're equal. They're all one. That's why you find in the very beginning the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. He was active in creation. So was the Son active in creation, according to Colossians chapter 1. But God was also. He makes the believer to be a witness. We don't witness because we're a believer. We witness because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what a witness is? I've told you some things this morning that have happened to me. That's a witness. That's a witness to what is in me. That is a witness to the power of God that indwells and fills me. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that your pastor walks every day filled with the Spirit of God. You might need to talk to Miss Roma. But I want to tell you, I know what I'm filled. And I want to tell you, people can get around you and know what you're filled with real quick. He leads and guides and directs the believer's paths. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 18. He administers all of the spiritual gifts according to the Father's choosing and according to the Father's goodwill, 1 Corinthians 12. One day he's going to come back. You remember when Abraham sent his servant out to get the bride for Isaac? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit going back. He gave him clear instructions. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen very carefully. God gave the Holy Spirit clear instructions what to do. Now hold on to what I'm going to say here. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Put a bow around it for you, okay? God the Father, whom the Son said, I will not do anything unless he tells me to do it. I will not say anything unless he tells me to say it, because he points all glory to the Father. The Spirit points all glory to the Son, who points all glory to the Father. Now, where is Jesus seated right now? We know he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Amen? We know that Jesus is an intercessor, don't we? But the Holy Spirit is also an intercessor. The Holy Spirit takes mine and your feeble prayers, because he knows our heart. He knows the yearnings, the desire of our heart and our life. He takes mine and your feeble prayers. And I say that in not disrespectful to any of you. But when you think your prayer is just pitiful, or you think there's just nothing there, the Holy Spirit knows the sincerity of your heart and your life before God. And he takes that prayer and he perfectly presents it to the Son, who perfectly presents it to the Father. And if you can picture this morning for just a minute, I wish I had time to expound on it, I don't, but I'm going to throw it out there at you. Heaven is a court. Everything that takes place is decided. And heaven is a court. You want to know how I know it's a court? Well, just study the book. But you remember where Satan went to accuse Job? He went into court. You see, he was that bad attorney. See, he tried to bring the wrong case against God's servant. See? Well, he's an accuser of the brethren. Hello? Okay? So he tries to take the case against you into the court of heaven. But you have an advocate who is seated at the right hand of the Father that ever lives to make intercession for you. But you also have the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, who knows your heart's desires, who knows your passions, who knows your will and your purpose and your plan and what you're seeking to accomplish and do under the leadership of the power of God in your life. And he takes that request and he perfectly presents it to the Son. You know how I know that? When I don't know how to pray, the Spirit intercedes with me with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit has a prayer language. Boy, I threw that out, didn't I? Don't take me wrong here, please, church. Don't take me wrong. Because you sat in the pew and agreed with Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit has a prayer language that you cannot understand, but that the Father, the Son, perfectly understand, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. One day, he's going to gather his church. Yes, it is as much his church as it is the Son's church as it is the Father's church. Let me tell you why. Because when the servant of Abraham went to find the bride for Isaac, he followed the exact instructions that the father Abraham gave. Now listen to me. Do you think for 1 minute this morning that the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you to do something contrary to the will of God? Hello? Hello? Then listen to me. As I close this message, open up your heart to what God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to do in your life today that will bring the greatest honor and praise and glory to him. Ask him to fill you. That is as much a prayer as, Father, forgive me of my sin. Ask him to fill you. Not one time, but daily ask him to fill you and to empower you that you might live John 10:10. If you don't know what John 10:10 is, I came that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. God bless you, church. Do you know him today? Do you know today that you have been secured as a child of God by the power of the Holy Spirit? You have been sealed? If you do not know him today, trust him today. Come to him today. He will seal you for eternity. You'll be born into God's family, never to be separated from him and his love again. Are you looking for a church home? Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a place where you'll be loved and cared for, where people will reach out to you and hug your neck? And where they mean it. Where it's not something just showy. Go ahead. It's okay. Roma asked me before I got in the pulpit, did you put your phone on vibrate? Thank you for listening to me today. I believe God has a sense of humor. Listen to me. Look up here. Don't miss this last words. This could be my last words. I don't know. If you don't know him today, settle it right now. Settle it in your heart. Settle it. Bow your heads with me. Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. There's nothing hidden from your eye about us. We cannot fake anything. We cannot work up anything, stir up anything. We cannot make anything happen. We're desperate people, desperate for you, hungering and thirsting for your righteousness, that we might be filled with your Spirit. God, I pray this morning in this service that you will literally fill people with your Spirit. I pray, God, that truly no one will leave this place without asking you to fill them as a child of God, anew and afresh with your Spirit. In order for that to happen, there must be an open and an honest examination allowed by you, by your Spirit, to reveal whatever traditional thought or whatever sin of the old nature that's raising its ugly head and living a lie within us. God, I pray this morning that we will be honest, openly honest. And as my brother prayed early, God, I pray that you will do a miracle in this place today. I do pray and ask, God, if I never get to stand in this pulpit again, I pray that your people will receive your word from you today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.